Imagine a world where your requests aren't met with eye rolls or defiance, where meltdowns are rare, and where your child actually talks to you about their day without prompting. This isn't parenting fantasy. It's what happens when we transform how we communicate with our children. The revolutionary approach in how to talk so kids will listen challenges the traditional power dynamic between parents and children, offering practical tools that respect children's dignity while maintaining necessary boundaries. At its core is a profound truth. The way we speak to our children becomes their inner voice, shaping how they'll talk to themselves and others for a lifetime. When your child declares, "I hate my homework," avoid dismissive responses like, "That's not a good attitude." Dismissing feelings only creates more problems. Children's emotions directly connect to their behavior. When we dismiss their feelings, we teach them not to trust their own experiences. Instead, listen attentively with eye contact to show you're fully present. Acknowledge feelings with simple responses like, "Oh," or "I see." Give emotions a name. "That sounds frustrating." As psychiatrist Daniel Siegel says, "Name it to tame it." How we request cooperation also matters. Parents issue numerous commands daily, naturally creating resistance. It's human nature to dislike being ordered around. Instead of commands, describe what you see. "There's milk spilled on the floor," rather than, "You made a mess again." Provide information. "Food left out spoils," instead of, "Put that away now." Use single words when possible, "the milk" or "shoes." Express your feelings with I statements. "I get frustrated when I step on toys in the dark." Simple notes can work surprisingly well, even with young children, like "please feed me" next to the hamster cage. We believe children need to pay for misbehavior to learn lessons. Yet research shows punishment achieves the opposite, creating feelings of revenge, defiance, and worthlessness rather than teaching responsibility. When punished, children focus on perceived unfairness rather than their behavior. They think, "Dad's mean," instead of, "I shouldn't have drawn on the walls." Try these alternatives. Point out ways to be helpful. "The walls need cleaning. Here's a sponge." Express disapproval without attacking character. "I'm furious about the drawing on the walls." State expectations clearly. "I expect walls to remain clean." Show how to make amends. "That wall needs cleaning before dinner." Give choices. "You can clean it with this sponge or this cloth." For recurring problems, try problem solving. Discuss feelings and needs, brainstorm solutions together, record ideas without judgment, and decide which to implement. One mother used this approach with her 8-year-old who forgot homework. Instead of punishing, she asked what might help him remember. They brainstormed solutions from phone reminders to packing his backpack the night before. The problem resolved within weeks, and her son gained valuable problem-solving skills rather than just learning to avoid punishment. One of our most important parenting goals is raising independent children. Yet daily opportunities to foster this independence often slip away because it's faster to do things for them. Children in dependent positions typically feel helpless and resentful. The solution is gradually transferring responsibility in age-appropriate ways. Let children make choices. Would you like the red shirt or the blue one? Even small decisions build decision-making muscles. Respect their struggle. Instead of, "Let me do that for you," try, "That zipper can be tricky. Sometimes it helps if you hold the bottom tight." Don't interrogate with too many questions. Children share more freely when they feel listened to rather than interrogated. When children ask questions like, "Why is the sky blue?" respond with, "What do you think?" This develops their thinking skills. Encourage them to use resources outside the home, librarians, store clerks, coaches, reducing their dependency on parents as sole information sources. A father created a morning routine chart with pictures for his 6-year-old. Within weeks, she handled her entire routine independently, proudly announcing, "Dad, I did everything myself today." She gained confidence while he gained time and reduced frustration. Despite parents constantly offering generic praises like, "Good job," or "You're so smart," children's self-esteem isn't flourishing. Evaluative praise creates dependency on external approval rather than genuine self-worth, while praising inherent qualities inadvertently creates performance pressure and fear of failure. Descriptive praise offers a more effective alternative. Instead of evaluating, "That's a beautiful drawing," simply describe what you see. "You used so many colors in your rainbow, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple." This allows children to form their own conclusions about their work. Descriptive praise has three components. Describe what you see. "I notice you finished that entire puzzle by yourself." Describe how you feel. "It's a pleasure to walk into such a clean room." Sum up the behavior with a word. "That's what I call perseverance." One teacher transformed her most challenging student with this approach. By specifically describing what she noticed, "I saw how you waited patiently while others finished their work, and then you helped collect the papers." His behavior improved dramatically as he began seeing himself through this new, more positive lens. Parents often casually label their children shy one, troublemaker, unaware how these labels shape children's self-perception and become self-fulfilling prophecies. Our expectations, whether seeing a child as slow or competent, directly influence their behavior. Look for opportunities to show children a new picture of themselves. When an irresponsible child remembers to feed the dog without prompting, highlight this evidence. "You remembered your responsibility to Buddy today." Place children in situations where they can experience themselves differently. A clumsy child might flourish in a beginner's dance class with a patient teacher. Let children overhear positive comments about them, model behaviors you want to see, and remind them of past successes that contradict negative labels. One mother transformed her relationship with her difficult daughter by noticing moments of cooperation and letting her overhear positive comments about her helpfulness, leading her daughter to live up to these new expectations. These communication skills aren't just behavior management techniques, they're relationship-building tools founded on mutual respect. When we listen to feelings, engage cooperation without commands, and encourage autonomy, we teach children how to interact effectively in all relationships. Parents report children naturally adopting these skills, a 3-year-old comforting his mother with, "You sound sad, Mommy," a 4-year-old telling her brother, "I don't like it when you kick me," instead of retaliating. These children develop emotional intelligence that serves them throughout life. The impact often emerges years later as adults carry these communication approaches into their marriages and professional relationships. By adopting these methods, we create a different legacy for future generations. As one father noted, "I'm not just raising my kids, I'm raising my grandchildren's parents." In an increasingly disconnected world, these skills offer something precious: the ability to truly hear and be heard by those we love most.